So what I'd like to talk about today is a sort of a humbling topic. It has to do with our country, and since we are on the Independence Day weekend, even though we are an extremely blessed nation, and we have just blessings galore and resources galore, we frequently find ourselves in potentially dangerous situations, especially on the world scene. Threats from different nations, either financially or militarily. There's always the flexing of the muscles and so forth. Even from smaller countries like North Korea, sort of threatening with their weaponry. We realize that China is building up their military pretty significantly. Of course, they have plans locally there, in my opinion, before they would even think about starting something with us. But we're involved because we're a global nation, and we affect many nations. And they look to us for security. They look to us for many things. But we're losing our respect in general from the world. And you can argue why that is, but the reality is it's happening. We're losing respect. Whether it's deserved or not is not the question today. In addition to war and threats of military things, we have financial issues. Our national debt is in the trillions. It's been there for a long time, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. Personal debt is always high, but there doesn't seem to be any end to the limit now. Even people that abuse credit get more credit. So we have some financial issues that will eventually come to the fore, and we're going to reap the benefits or the curses from the spending that we, the uncontrolled spending of our government and individuals. And then, of course, there's natural disasters. The wildfires seem to be in the news constantly. And, of course, now there's floodings and tornado weather. And there's just no end to the problems that we face as a nation. And, of course, I have to mention the COVID epidemic, or pandemic as they call it, and just the impact of that. Still there, still cases of COVID variants, and now there's all sorts of new viruses out there that look like COVID, act like COVID, but you test negative. So not sure what all that means. So we have to ask ourselves, why is there so much trouble in the most blessed nation on the face of the earth? Why? We live in, as I've mentioned, the most powerful and prosperous nation in modern times, but we are headed down a path that leads to destruction. And of course, the Bible talks about that in this path, and it talks about us in particular, headed down that road to destruction. Now, many people don't realize that we're on that path. And many people feel that if we put the right person in office, or we pass the right laws, that we could overcome any of our faults. But we know that that is not a solution. As long as there's carnal nature, there's going to be problems. And no one person is going to solve this problem except Jesus Christ when he returns. So how did we get here? How did we get to this point? And, things are going to get worse. We can meet here peacefully today. But things are going to get worse. But we ask ourselves, how did we get to this point? You know, on the verge of something bad happening. You know, things seemingly were going great. But something happened. Something is happening. And something is going to happen in the future. And when we read in the Bible what those things are going to be, it's frightening. It's frightening what we are going to face in the United States and in Britain and the English-speaking countries of the world. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about our rise to power. Our rise to power was promised and orchestrated by God. I also want to talk about that with the great blessings that we were given comes great responsibilities in the eyes of God. Now we are blessed, and there with that blessing comes responsibility. And thirdly, as we stray farther from God, these blessings that we enjoy and perhaps even take for granted will be taken away. Little by little at first, but then in a catastrophic way at the very end. And our curses will increase. So the title of the sermon is Losing Our Blessings. Losing Our Blessings. And I'm going to talk about those three things as we go through the sermon today. Let's go to Genesis 48. Genesis 48 and verse 15. Genesis 48 and verse 15. We see Jacob's blessings being passed on to Joseph's son, Manasseh and Ephraim. Genesis 48 and verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walk, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. So this is Jacob blessing the lads, Joseph's sons. Let my name be named upon them. So when we read about Jacob and things associated with Jacob, like Jacob's trouble, the name of Ephraim and Manasseh, Jacob's name is named on them. So when we read of the terrible things to come, it applies to the descendants of Jacob, namely Ephraim and Manasseh. And in verse 17, I'm sorry, continuing in 16, it says, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Jacob passing on this blessing. And in verse 17 it says, now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him because he was the younger. It displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand and removed it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. And that multitude of nations is the British Commonwealth. And in verse 21, it said, so he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. The name Ephraim means fruitful. Fruitful. you know, bearing fruit. And the word Manasseh means forgetting. Two very different meanings from two different names. And these blessings were being passed on as a result of obedience to those who came before Ephraim and Manasseh, namely Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, Joseph. Joseph was a God-fearing man and had lots of fruit in his life. And those same blessings laid on Joseph's sons have been passed down to us in these latter days. And we are reaping the physical and spiritual blessings that God was passing on in that lineage. And He will continue to bless us if we obey Him. There's a condition. So, on to the first point I wanted to talk about. Our rise to power was promised and orchestrated by God. Our rise to power was promised and orchestrated by God. Let's go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12 and verse 2. This is the Lord speaking to Abram, telling him to get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. And in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. So what does that mean? It means that people associated with Abram would be a blessing because of the association. And we could look at that today in the countries in the British Commonwealth and in the United States. Nations want to be our friends because they know with that comes security and protection and wealth. But of course, there's evil involved in everything that man is involved in. And many of those nations that sought after the wealth and all the goodies from the British Commonwealth and the United States were taken advantage of. And they hate the big boys, if you will, the British Commonwealth, the United States, and now they do not want anything to do with us. But it says, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's quite a significant blessing that God was putting on Abram. That in all the families of the earth you shall be blessed. And of course, this is a reference to Jesus Christ, who was descended in this line. And all the members of the world, the people of the world, will be blessed by Jesus Christ because He's the Savior of mankind. And He paid the penalty for sin committed by everyone eventually when they are called and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49 and verse 22. These are the blessings to Joseph spoken by Jacob. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by the well. So he's talking about the British Commonwealth in the United States. His branches run over the wall. You know, it's so great and so prosperous that it runs over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him, but his bow remained in strength. So many times when the U.S. and Britain has persevered and won specific military contests, almost miraculous occurrences, it's because God was blessing them. and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that lies beneath, you know, the rain, the resources in the ground like oil and so forth, various elements and metals, natural resources, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, you know, strong people, healthy people. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestor up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. This shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Now, Joseph was a unique individual. Joseph was righteous in many of his actions. If we go to Deuteronomy 33, into verse 13, these are blessings to Joseph spoken by Moses. We just read blessings to Joseph spoken by Jacob. Now these are spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and the fullness and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of a wild ox. Together with them he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000 of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Let's go to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 in verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in the season. So God is outlining here blessings for obedience. Blessings for obedience. I will give you rain in season, the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So we can read over this, and maybe people that aren't familiar with agriculture might read over this. But when I look out into a field, and it's bone dry, and the crops are starting to fade, get brown, I get an ache in my stomach. Because it's dying. Like my 2 acres of beans that were planted on the hottest day of the year so far. And there was just a little rain came like 3 days later. And the little beans came up about this high. And the geese came in and they ate what was there. And that's just my little 2 acres. So when I read this, I mean, it is a tremendous blessing to have, you know, crops yielding their fruit. And the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread on the full and dwell in the land safely. You know, it talks about in the world tomorrow, you know, that the, you know, the reaper, I mean the thresher will overpower the reaper, overtake the reaper. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. No reason to be afraid. There are people in our country who are afraid. Something blowing up. They're afraid. And I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. And you will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall be 10,000. So you see all of these tremendous blessings that come as a result. And I will look favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. There'll be so much abundance. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. And I believe that this verse 12 is really the whole story of the Bible. God wants us to walk with Him. He just wants to be our God. And He wants us to be His people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk right. So we see these blessings, blessings upon blessing that God wants us to have. So there's no secret to most of us in this room that the founding fathers of the United States were, for the most part, God-fearing men that understood how blessed this nation was and is. And our blessings were recognized by many of our leaders of the past. And I will add courageous leaders in the past. Abraham Lincoln wrote, he said, "We find ourselves in the peaceful possession of the fairest portion of the earth, the United States. The fairest portion of the earth. As regards to fertility of the soil, extent of territory, and salubrity," which means favorable climate. It says, we find ourselves in the peaceful possession. Now, we know there's been wars, but he's referring to, in the grand scheme, we got it peacefully. We find ourselves the legal inheritors. Legal. Why did he say it was legal? Because God promised it. It's a sure thing. He had to have understood that God promised this wealth to this nation. We find ourselves the legal inheritors of these fundamental blessings. We toiled not in the acquirement or the establishment of them. So what he is saying is it was given to us. The President of the United States. I find that amazing. I find it courageous. I also believe it. That what he said is true. We truly live in the land that flows with milk and honey. On to point number two. With these great blessings comes great responsibility. It makes sense. It makes sense. It seems reasonable to assume that to whom much is given, much is expected. And Jesus Christ even says that in the New Testament. There's a quote. With great power comes great responsibility. Now that quote has been re-quoted many times. And one of the re-quotes adds the following to that. It says, with great power comes great responsibility. This is my gift, my cause. Who am I? Spider-Man. But Peter was merely copying a statement made by Voltaire, who was a philosopher. And he's the one who actually wrote in his notes, "With great power comes great responsibility." There was a bunch of other stuff he wrote too that I find very amusing. It says, "Behind every successful man is an unbelieving mother-in-law." That'll make it up. But it's a true statement. In Luke 12 and verse 48, as I've referenced, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." And that's our Savior talking to us. So we have a responsibility. Since we are the recipients of physical blessings and spiritual blessings in the church, so much is expected. We're supposed to be the people that stand out, always choosing the right, not going along with the crowd down the path. So it's a difficult way. So as I mentioned, not all of our forefathers were God-fearing. Nonetheless, God does bless the nation as a whole. And God acknowledges all who diligently seek Him. All have the opportunity to seek God. I want to quote from another founding father who came before President Lincoln. And this is the second president of the United States, John Adams. And he wrote in his diary on February 22nd of 1756, it was quite a while before the nation was formed. It says, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book." So these were thoughts of some of the founding fathers long before the Declaration of Independence was signed. Suppose a nation would take the Bible as the only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. So live by this book, the Bible. Every member would be obliged in conscience and to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, as we heard about, kindness, and charity towards his fellow man, to the piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God. What a utopia, he goes on to say. What a paradise would this region be? So he's just pondering these thoughts. A decade later, John Adams wrote in his notes for the dissertation on the canon and feudal law in February 1765. He said, "I always considered the settlement of America with reverence and wonder." Reverence and wonder. "As the opening of the grand scene and design in Providence for the illumination of the ignorant." So this was this light set on a hill in order to be observed by the ignorant, those that didn't understand God's blessings. And he goes on, "and the emancipation of the slavish part of mankind all over the earth." Very interesting words. If one was thinking that way today and publishing what they thought in that way, they would be ridiculed to the end, because the United States should be ashamed of themselves. Have you heard that? Yes, there are a lot of things that we should be ashamed of. But declaring our belief in God and knowing where the blessings come from and acknowledging that Creator God is nothing to be ashamed of, in my eyes. And I'm sure it's not in yours either. So that is part of the reason that we're on this path. We're on this path. Because God is not in the thoughts of man. It's all about what we did. Granted, it takes work, it takes effort, it takes energy of man to implement things. But God gets the ultimate credit for the blessings we have and the things that we have and the freedoms that we have. Deuteronomy 12, again. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from you before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you do not be ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods. So when we go into the land that we inherited, the blessings from God, we're not supposed to inquire about how the indigenous people worship their gods. We're supposed to worship God the way He has told us to worship. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which He hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their God. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add or take away from it. So God has clear instructions for us and how to worship Him. So we have to ask the question, well, how are we doing as a nation when it comes to that? Well, I don't know. There's tons of different beliefs out there, you know, influenced by Far Eastern mysticism, occult, worship of nature, worship of self. It all seems like it's going that way and not towards God. So God is not pleased with how He is worshipped. In James 1 and verse 22, James 1 and verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, we need to be doers. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing himself, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Because he's not looking and examining what he sees. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's what we should be looking into whenever we look at ourselves. The perfect law of liberty, and as we evaluate, we're finding out, you know, we're coming up short. We need to improve. We need to put on more of God's character. If he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Forgetful. What does Manasseh mean? And one of the greatest blessings that we have in the United States is our freedom. It's our freedom. Freedom is a condition of being free of restraints. Free to come and go as we please. Free to make choices. And we have many choices to make. God's all about freedom. He wants us to make choices. And the freedoms that we enjoy in this country are gifts from God. And sometimes we take them for granted. And we take for granted the fact that we can meet in peace and safety. Maybe a little water coming through the wall, but peace and safety. the freedom to assemble and have opinions. But freedom can be a curse if it's not used properly. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, I'll just reference that. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Our freedom has turned into doing whatever we please. And one of those things is rejecting God and His way. You know, as much to say, I don't want anything to do with God. It doesn't matter what He says or what He writes in the Bible. But God does warn us that He will not tolerate a society that rejects Him. He will not tolerate it. There will be a punishment. If we go to Romans 1, in verse 18, Romans 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. But they reject it." It's rejected. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Seen in nature. This marvelous creation that we are privileged to have. "These invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You know, when you look at science, you know, science is an amazing thing. But rarely does the miracle of science get credit. Like, that is a marvelous creation we're observing here. There's no excuse. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of man made like corruptible man." You know, they wanted to turn God into man. You know, they wanted to make a little, you know, idol and put it on the mantle. You know, "I'll worship it when I feel like it." Well, first of all, you're not supposed to worship it. "And they turned God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. And therefore God also gave them over to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves." And I don't want to get into details there, but we can certainly understand what's being talked about. "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie." You know, you're not surely going to die. "And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator." You know, something that was created, worship that instead of the Creator. Because that created thing can't talk back to you. But God can talk to you. And people just don't want to hear what He's got to say. But we are called to understand what He has to say. And if we read it and believe it, we must be doers and do it. The Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up. And as a nation, we are exalting ourselves above God. We'll tell you the answers. We don't want to hear your answers from the Bible. You know, sex outside of marriage is okay. Gay is okay. Cheating is okay. Killing the unborn is okay. Just don't hate anyone. Don't hate anyone. So what's the obvious main problem? We've already hinted around to it a couple times. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, which most of us do not have a problem finding food and affording good food, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. We are thankful for what we have and the wonderful things that it produces. But then it says in verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, when I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. So it goes on to say, here's all these blessings that we received as a people. The message is, don't forget that. Don't forget that. If we drop down to verse 17, it says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I did it. No. You might have worked. You might have worked a little bit for it, or even a lot for it. But it was a blessing from God. Don't forget. We mustn't forget. Again, I'd like to quote President Lincoln, and this is April 30th, 1863, for our nationwide day of fasting and prayer. Now, that has happened a couple times in our history. I think the last one was Ronald Reagan. It might have been, I'm not sure. Any historians in the room here? I know Ronald Reagan did do that. National Day of Fasting and Prayer. Anyway, he said, it is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Very direct, very clear. We have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation ever has grown. But we have forgotten God. Lincoln said this in 1863, April 30th. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. I think he hits the nail right on the head. So he called upon the nation for a day of fasting and prayer. Why do we fast? To humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. I think George Bush might have had a day of prayer also and fasting. So the third point I wanted to cover before we conclude here today is, as we stray farther from God, our blessings will decrease, and curses will increase. We go to Leviticus 26 again, and this time we will read 14 through 17. So this is the flip side. If you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will appoint terror over you. Wasting disease and fever shall consume your eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. So, not good stuff going on here. The blessings will be taken away. And verse 18, and after this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. So, it'll get worse as the sins continue. And the ignoring the fact that God is the source of our blessing. I will break the pride of your power, as it says in verse 19. So what is the pride of our power? And there's been several sermons on this in the years gone by. Military strength? Yeah, well, you know, the United States has very strong military. But some of the later conflicts that we've been involved in and wars, you know, there was not a clear win. Like, oh, that was, yeah. You know? So, you know, I will break the pride of your power. And of course, wealth, you know, that is power as far as our nation is concerned, too. A very wealthy nation has power. And, you know, the big news now is when there's a financial problem in the United States. Like, oh, the stock's dropping so many points. Oh, you know, the interest rate's going to go. Oh, you know, inflation. Yeah. All things to be concerned about. But I think it just reflects God pulling the blessings away. You know, what about agreement among people? There's such a divide in this country over political parties, you name it. You know, conservation issues. Whether or not Top Gun was accurate or not. But, you know, there's no end to something to disagree about. And now it's just so militantly disagreeable. Like, this is the worst possible thing you can think. I think it's all part of the blessings being removed. That's taking a little patience away from people. No, you're going to get upset if somebody says green is actually, you know, this color is actually lime instead of, you know, turquoise. But sins are still occurring. Almost half of all marriages end in divorce. You know, the subject of drugs isn't even brought up anymore because it's so rampant. The entertainment industry is rotten. We're slowly but surely losing our power and influence in the world. But our biggest sin is forgetting God. Forgetting God. And when we forget God, from His perspective, you're rejecting God. Or we're rejecting God. So our future looks kind of bleak, and I'll go to Micah just to prove the point a little farther. Micah 5. In verse 7, it says, then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people. The remnant of Jacob. That means it's just a piece of Jacob. And in verse 8 it says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people. So it doesn't sound like we're like a, you know, a nation of Jacob. We're scattered. And it says, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like the young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hands shall be lifted against your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst. So this doesn't sound like good things. This sounds like bad things happening. And destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down your stronghold. I will cut off sorceries from your hand. Because these are all sins. It's because of these sins that blessings are going to be taken away. And sudden destruction will come. So how did we get here? Our rise to power was promised and orchestrated by God. It was a direct result of the obedience of the ancients, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And many of the founding fathers of the United States were God-fearing men and understood the importance and obedience to his word, and they believed what the Bible said. But something happened. They knew that obedience brought blessings, and with blessings came responsibility. And that not only just as a nation, but individuals. We were given freedoms, free to choose God and reject evil. But evil seems to be winning. Seems to be winning. Rejecting God brings death, misery, and ultimate destruction. And it certainly appears that as a nation, we have been choosing the path of destruction. And bad things happen to our nation. And so when God corrects us, he always sort of brings us back. And if we go to Leviticus 26 again, he essentially says, but wait, there's more. That's not the end of it. Your destruction is not the end of it. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. He says, but wait, if you or they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me. So here we're admitting an error, we're admitting a sin, admitting that it existed before us, but we're taking responsibility, and that I have also walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I remember my covenant with Jacob. In my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, I will remember. So he's saying, if we repent, he will remember the land. Remember the land. And in verse 43, the middle, last half, it says, and we can put the word, if they will accept their guilt because they despise my judgments and because their soul abhors my statutes, yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. I'm not going to break that covenant. There is a way back, and it's called repentance. So our responsibility is to be shining examples of God's way of life throughout all of this mess that we're living through and we're going to live through in the future. We are to pray for our leaders. Pray that God gives them wisdom in dealing with the very serious situations that we find ourselves in. And that perhaps maybe they could read some past presidents and some of the things they said about God's promises. And maybe they can be enlightened with that knowledge. So repentance. I'm going to quote once more again, this time from John Quincy Adams, who was our sixth president. And he was writing a letter to his son in 1811. His son was the ambassador to Russia. And so this is John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, writing a letter to his son, the ambassador to Russia. And he says, I have myself for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. My custom is to read 4 to 5 chapters every morning immediately after rising from my bed. This was the sixth president of the United States. It is essential, my son, in order that you may go through life with comfort to yourself and usefulness to your fellow creatures, that you should form and adopt certain rules or principles for the government of your own conduct and temper. Sounds like a wise father telling his son, this is what you're going to face, son. You need to prepare yourself by knowing the source of all good, knowing the source of all blessings. It is in the Bible. You must learn them. And from the Bible, how to practice them. That is the precepts of God. Those duties are to God, to your fellow creatures, and to yourself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, he's quoting the Bible, of course, Jesus Christ expressly says, hang all the law and the prophets. That is to say, the whole purpose of divine revelation is to inculcate them effectively upon the minds of men. Sounds like a lot of wisdom to me, and truth, and a wonderful thing to pass on. So, brethren, we read some pretty sobering words this afternoon. But don't be discouraged. Because God knows that as a nation, it's possible to repent. Now, is it likely? I don't know. But it seems as if Bible prophecy is to be fulfilled, that we're going to continue on this path. Let's understand that the simplicity of what God expects of us can easily be implemented by those who follow God. We need to stay in a repentant attitude, and we realize and not forget the blessings and where they come from. Today, the world still stands envious of the amazing United States of America and the British Commonwealth. And we still are powerful. We still are wealthy. But we still are leaning towards evil. We realize that the blessings we do have are because of the obedience of the ancients and the promises made to those ancients that lived godly lives to the best of their ability. Our blessings are slowly but surely slipping away from us, and it is a direct result of the rejection of God and forgetting the source of the blessings. The world will be amazed when they see us quickly fall. Our forefathers had a vision for the future, and the founding fathers of this country were God-fearing, biblically literate people, as we read and witnessed by what they wrote. But as a nation, we're losing that vision that they had. We're losing it. You could say we're overthinking the whole thing. We're putting our thoughts into something that was spiritual. Something that was spiritual. And carnal and spiritual do not mix. You know, they're very opposed to each other. To whom much is given, much is expected. And brethren, we are given much. And there's an expectation from those who are called out of this world, out of the society that we live in, to live a different way. Answer to a different government, if you will. The government of God. God's kingdom will truly be, as our founding fathers envisioned, one nation under God, indivisible, with true liberty and true justice for all. Let's be thankful for the blessings that we have and use these blessings and the blessings that enable us to live God's way and display our love towards neighbor and towards our God. And be sure that everything we do is to the honor and glory of our great God.